God is good, and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn again, because we were here last week, but let's turn again to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Father God, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for everyone here in the sanctuary. Thank you for those that are watching the live stream here today. Father, I pray that they have ears to hear and an open heart to receive your word. And dear Lord, I'm resting in you and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to minister to your people this morning. Hallelujah. And may I say those words that you want said here today. And Father, we will give you all the glory and give you all the honor and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading at the first verse again. And again, we were here last week, so I'm going to read from the first verse. Of God. Jesus told the folks in the book of Matthew, they had asked him some questions concerning prayer, and Jesus told them to pray in this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done in earth or on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know God wants his will done in the earth? Amen. Amen. Now, do you know how he's going to get it done? Through us. It's through us that the will of God is done in the earth. And we know that God is a sovereign God. We know that with God there is nothing impossible. But God has a system already set in place to get things done. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. In the book of Genesis, it tells us that God created the heaven. God created the heavens and the earth. And then God place animals, plants on the earth, and then he created a man, called him Adam. And he did the other animals. Okay? Bible says he breathed into him the breath of life. Adam became a living being, spirit, soul, and body. He was perfect in every way. There was no sin in his life. And then, of course, you know the story. God gave him a wife, took her from his, put him to sleep, took her from his rib. But notice something, and we won't go over that because it'd take too long. But God placed Adam in charge of the earth. God made it. God made the heavens. God made the earth. Then he put man on the earth that's created in his image and in his likeness. And then he placed him in charge of it. So he gave Adam the responsibility of naming the animals. Called his wife Eve. So God has a system in place. And we were talking about this yesterday in our men's prayer about how, and please don't flip out when I say this, about there's some things that Jesus can't do. Stay with me now. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Don't leave until you hear the whole thing. Who do God tell to resist the devil? Us, right? Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. We ought to resist the devil. Jesus told us to cast out devils in his name. If a person is being antagonized or bound in some way by the devil, Jesus told us, you deal with it in my name. Amen. It's not scriptural to say, Lord, this person has a devil. Lord, would you get him out of there for me, please? No, he told us to do it. You're still with me? And then Jesus came to the earth and he demonstrated how we are to do it. He taught us how to do it. Because God has a system. God said, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We are supposed to stand up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and get the job done. Amen. God has a way of doing things. So we have to learn how God operates. And then we will be more effective in our prayer life. We will be more effective in our ministry. when we understand how God wants things done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but that will must be carried out through you and me. Or you're still here. Hallelujah. So let's go back to verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that good? In other words, the good will of God, and what is the acceptable will of God, and what the perfect will of God is. Oh, what an awesome responsibility that we have as believers. Hallelujah. But notice what it says here in verse 2. Our minds must be renewed. It don't just happen. One thing I learned, and this is a simple example right here. One thing I learned is when praying for someone that's sick, I never pray, Lord, heal this sister. Lord, heal this brother. Lord, heal this child. If it be your will. I don't pray that way. Because the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. The Bible says, tells us that Jesus himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Therefore, you speak to it in the name of Jesus. And there have to be faith involved on both the receiving party and the giving party. Amen. You're not likely to get a person healed that don't want to be healed. If their sickness is a crutch, and if that's what they use to get attention and they want to keep it, they want to pet it, you know, talk about it and want you to talk about it and tell them how cute their little sickness is, there's a good chance they're going to remain that way. But when they get enough of it, when they have enough of it, and they get someone to agree with them in prayer or to pray for them, and they release their faith along with the person that's praying for them, good things happen, don't it? Why? Because that's the will of God. Can you imagine Jesus seated on the right hand of God the Father? He's our high priest, you know. Seated on the right hand of the Father. And also, you know, he is the chief shepherd of the church. Amen? Amen? He's the chief shepherd of the church. And can you imagine him looking over at the Father and say, Father, look at the church. They all of them sick. They poor. And they don't know if they're going or coming. Isn't that nice? That's not going to happen. Because God don't want his church sick. Let me say that again. God does not want his church sick. But Pastor, why do folk get sick? There's a devil out there. We still have to deal with fallen man. There are things we have to deal with. And yes, there are going to be sick folk till Jesus come. But that's not the will of God for us. Let me say it again. That's not the will of God for us. And that's the reason we have a legal right to stand against it when it comes against us. Amen. God would prefer to see his entire body healthy, doing well. Why? Because we can bring more glory to his name. I've been sick before, and probably everybody in here, I'm pretty sure I can safely say probably 100% have been sick at some point in time in your life. But let me tell you something. As a sick person, you can't serve God the way you would like to, right? I didn't say you lose your salvation. Absolutely not. And you can praise and worship God wherever you are. But you know what? If you're in the hospital somewhere or you can't get out of the bed, guess what? One thing you can't do? You can't come to church. You can't fellowship with your brothers and sisters. When you're sick, there are limitations that's put on you. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. When God created man, placed him in the garden, there was no sickness there. Sickness came as a result of the fall. I said, as a result of the fall, sickness came. So praise the name of the Lord. Y'all still with me? But we have to refocus. We have to take on the mindset that I want the will of God done in my life. I want the perfect will of God carried out in my life. Not what I want to do, not what somebody else wants me to do, but what God wants me to do. I was sharing with some brothers. And this applies, and we're gonna move on, but I want to say this, and this applies to all of us. But I'm talking about me personally. I have an assignment that was given to me by God. And I have to carry out that assignment. Because one day when I stand before him and I'm going to heaven, thank you for those amen, but you know what? Let me say it. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to heaven, but look. I'm still going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about myself, and I'm going to have to give an account to him for my service. And I don't want to lose out because I refuse to carry out his assignment for my life. Or somebody else talked me into walking into their assignment or whatever they think I should be doing. Can't do that. God has a plan for my life just like he has a plan for yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know some folk get caught up on, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. Find some good stuff and do it. Start right here in your church. You've heard me say this many times. It's not a sin to pick up some trash off the floor. Amen. you're in the bathroom and someone forget to flush the commode, it's not a sin for you to flush it. And we do have soap and water in there. You can wash your hands afterwards. You understand what I'm saying? My point is, that's a good thing. You got to start somewhere. And please, I don't need to get off on that. But I will say this much. When you're working for God, you start on the bottom and work your way up. It's much better to start on the bottom and work your way up than to start at the top and fall from the top to the bottom, because you don't have the character or the knowledge to stay on top. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. Amen. You can get to the top because of who you know, who you associate with, and so forth. But my question is, do you have the character to stay there? Are you developed enough to remain there? I don't know if it's good preaching to y'all or not, but it's blessing me. We have to understand that our purpose here is to carry out the will of God in this earth and the will of God for our life. Amen. Now let me move on, because time waits for no one. Let me read verse 2 again, then we'll proceed on from there. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You got to keep that in your focus. You got to know that your mind must be renewed in order to carry out God's will. And of course, how do we renew our minds? It's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's learning, renewing your mind, is learning to think the way God thinks. This book right here tells us how to think and shows us how God thinks. And we are to pattern our lives, our thinking process, after what the Word of God says. Amen. Having said that, turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55. Glory be to God. Isaiah 55. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Glory to God. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." You see that? Let me read that again, verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isn't that great? Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, take a look at the 8th verse. When God speaks, we need to listen, don't we? Amen. Amen. Listen. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Say this, say, my thoughts are not God's thoughts.
My thoughts are not God's.
Say it again.
My thoughts are not God's.
See, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. I'm talking about natural human thinking. It's not God's thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Far as the heavens are higher than the earth. And I want to say this. You know, they're talking a lot about this new telescope they got out in space. I think that thing about 1,000,000 miles away from Earth, something like that. James Webb, thank you. I had to stop for a moment. I almost said James West. Y'all remember the TV program? I used to watch that when I was younger. You know, I watched a lot of Westerns. But James Webb telescope, that thing's about a million miles away from Earth, and it is, I mean, it's sending back pictures from deep, deep, deep space. Now, I'll tell you what that does for me. When I see pictures like that, and I was watching some of it last night, and I go on YouTube somewhere and watch it. It blesses me because it shows me the awesomeness of God. Oh my goodness. Folks, God is awesome. I mean, this universe is so big that the pictures that you are seeing are from light years ago. And light travels at what? 100 and what? Am I? Y'all help me out. Is 186,000 miles a second? Who said that's correct? I'm right on that. Okay. Amen. 186,000 miles per second. How would you like to be traveling that fast? But you're talking about billions of light years in the past. And I don't think they're nowhere close to reaching the edge. Matter of fact, I don't really think there is an edge. But what my point is, God is awesome.
Amen.
And this great, awesome God took out enough time, Sharon, to plant you in your mother's womb. Have you come to this earth and be his daughter, to love him and to worship? Think about that. Think about that for a moment. Folks, that is beyond awesome. And when we sing "What a Mighty God We Serve," the English language, or no other language really, is adequate enough to describe who he really is. Glory. Sometimes you just need to think about it. God is awesome, yet he chose me. He could have bypassed me. I'd have never known about it. You wouldn't either. But he had us in mind. Why don't you just lift your hands and thank him right now? Say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for loving me. And I just want to charge you right now to do everything you can to love him back. And this Almighty God, when man fell, chose, God the Father chose to send someone equal to himself, his only begotten Son, to redeem us back. I mean, you know, he could have just wiped the earth. I mean, just poof, earth could have been gone. He could have went on, created him another one, forgot about us. But no, he didn't do that. Why? Because we created in his image and his likeness. And because we created in his image and created in his likeness, we will never, ever cease to exist. Mankind will never, ever cease to exist. Y'all hearing me? Saved or unsaved, mankind will never, ever cease to exist because you're created in the image and the likeness of God. You're created a spiritual being. You've created a spiritual being. And you have a soul and you have a body. And you're going to live somewhere or exist somewhere throughout all eternity, because that's the way we were created. And can I tell you something? That's just the favor of God. That's just the favor of God. So God the Father said, when man fell, no, I'm not going to allow them to go into eternal punishment unless they choose to do so. I'm going to send them a helper. I'm going to send them a redeemer. I'm going to send them my only begotten Son. Think about it, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the reason we need to stop pitying ourselves and putting ourselves down and wishing we were this and wishing we were that, when we just need to start thanking God for choosing us and start standing on the foundation of his word. Because if you're here, there's a purpose for your life. I say if you're here, there's a purpose for your life. Thank you, Lord. And we need to stop putting each other down. Just because they're not like us. Or in our own thinking, they're not as good looking as we are. Notice I said in your own thinking. I've heard that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder anyway. I mean, you know, you may think you're the hottest thing since tamales, but somebody else may think different. Because everybody have different opinions. In God's eyes, we're all beautiful. I say, in God's eyes, we're all beautiful. Amen. And stop saying unkind things about yourself. You created in God's image and God's likeness. Come on. You created in God's image and God's likeness. Amen. All righty. Whoo, glory. Well, I just got to look at my watch. All righty. Let's go back to verse 8. This is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, And that's what I was talking about earlier. The heavens are so much higher than the earth. Listen to this. Now, think about this flying telescope that can't find and won't find the end of the universe, and compare that with what God just said here in verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. In other words, our ways don't match up. No wonder God says he's going to laugh at those that think they're wise. God says, I'm going to laugh at those that think they got it together in their own reasoning, in their own carnal thinking. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, God says that he's going to use simple things and simple people to confound the wise. People that's walking in their own wisdom and not in the wisdom of God. He says, I'm going to use them to confound the wise. I'm trying to get through this, folks. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And listen to this. And my thoughts, then what? Your thoughts. Hallelujah. That's the reason we must have our minds renewed. That's the reason we must make a decision. I'm going to think the way God thinks. I'm going to find out what God thinks about any given situation, and I'm going to find out through his word, and then I'm going to change my thinking. And when I change my thinking, it would also change my actions. If God says something is wrong, something is sin, something grieves him, guess what? If we thinking like he think, we won't do that anymore. We won't live like that anymore. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody say a new way of thinking. That's my subject anyhow. I didn't tell y'all what it was. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Learn to think like him. And we do that through the word of God, through the hearing of the word of God. And through the reading of the word of God. And I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy, please. Glory to God. We need to get set. We don't need to bounce back and forth. First Timothy, the first chapter. Second chapter. I'm sorry, let me scratch everything I just said. First Timothy, first chapter. Second Timothy, first chapter. I guess I need to look at my notes rather than going from memory. 2 Timothy, first chapter. All right. Amen. Y'all was supposed to know that already. All the time?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But we need to get set. We don't need to be in and out, over here today, over here tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. We need to get settled. And you hear me say this so many times, where Jesus said from the Gospel of John chapter 17 that we're in this world, but we are not of this world. Okay? You got to keep that in mind. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And Jesus even prayed that the Father not take us out of the world, but that he would keep us from the evil and keep us from the evil one. Why? Because he needs us right now. He needs us in the world. He needs us on the earth to carry out his will. Amen. But we need to get our minds renewed, and then we need to get set and not be all over the place. Now, having said that, 2 Timothy chapter 1, right? Is that the last one I told you? Okay. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 8. And this, of course, you know this is the Apostle Paul writing as he was moved by the Holy Spirit to his spiritual son, Timothy. Therefore, verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Glory, hallelujah. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, pay special attention to verse 12. I'm talking about having your mind renewed and you set. In other words, you're not over here and over there. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am what? And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. In other words, what Paul was saying is, things are tough. I've had to endure prison, mistreatment, persecutions. But my mind's been renewed and I am set. I am not changing. Whatever I have to suffer, I will suffer, because I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me. He's able to keep me. I said, he's able to keep you. He's able to keep you. You don't believe on him and trust in him as long as things are going good. But if your mind's not renewed, you'll do that. Hallelujah. And he went on to tell Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I'm still on Paul. Flip back to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4. See, we've been called to carry out the will of God. When it feels good and when it don't. In Philippians chapter 4, I'll just begin at verse 10, and this will probably be my last scripture reference, but I just want to read this to you. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God, great man of God. He suffered a lot, but it didn't change him. But I rejoice, this is verse 10, Philippians 4, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, excuse me, not that I speak in regard to need, for I, listen, y'all ready for this? Not that I speak in regards to need, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content. Whatever state, I learned to be content. In other words, I have a stable mind. Let's read on. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer needs. Put verse 13 on the screen for me, please. Philippians 4:13. Read it out loud, everybody. I
can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Say it again.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to close right here. That's the reason it is so important to have your mind renewed, standing solid on what God has said. This great man that God used, he said, I've had need and I've had plenty. It didn't change my faith and it didn't change the way I think. I didn't change my mind about what God has said. Like a lot of, we hear a lot of people doing today, even in the body of Christ. They approach the word based on what their situations are. If it's tough, then the word must mean something else. If things ain't happening exactly the way I think they should happen, the word of God must mean something else. No, you stand firm. You stand firm on what God says. You stand firm. If you believe in God for finances to come in, and they hadn't come in yet, you don't change your mind. You don't quit. You go back to the Bible and see if it says the same thing it said the last time, and I promise you it will. If it seems like your body is trying to be stubborn and it don't want to fall in line, don't quit believing God. Don't stop standing on the word of God. You go back to his word and read what he said again. Amen. Hallelujah. What a testimony. He says, listen, guys, I've had need and I've had plenty. But I've learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can still do his will while I'm waiting on my money to manifest. I can still bless his name while I'm waiting on my healing to manifest. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. The devil's attacking your body. You tell the devil in the name of Jesus, I resist you. You pack up your stuff and you get out of here, and then you go pray. Just go along praising God. Go praising God. Praising God. Magnifying God. Glorifying God. Hallelujah. That's the mindset you got to have. You stand firm on what he said. Don't back off of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give God praise for the word. Will you do that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.